feed now. Here's Tavares going to the front of the net. Nylander to Tavares. He scores! Marner to Tavares. Tavares around back of the net. Someone's lost a stick as it comes to Marner. He scores! Holy mackerel! The Wizard has given the Leafs the lead. Predators have to hurry, and they're running out of time, and they're going to run out of real estate as it comes in on the left wing. 2 seconds left. Camp intercepts. The game is over. A gritty bit of defensive work in the final minute and a half, and the Maple Leafs preserve a 2-1 victory on a goal from Mitch Marner.
The Wizard. Hey?
The Wizard?
That's what he was called last night, Marner.
There's some wizardry to him.
Wizardry. I don't think he's like Harry Potter-esque, but he's up in the...
Forget wizardry. I can't say that.
I don't think that word's ever been said out loud.
I'm probably not going to say it again, but I've been like mentally preparing myself for saying Jacksonville's football nickname.
The
like
Jags.
All of last night. Like I've been...
I just started to say Jags.
I think I'm ready for it, so a little tease for later.
Hey, the Leafs win the goaltending battle of the century. That's so fun to get a ticket to that. You just watch saves.
Credit to you.
The under hit,
though. All over the under. A little part of me died this morning when I woke up and saw that my LA Kings couldn't get it done.
Are
we 2 or 3 all week?
I think so.
2 or 3 all week.
That ends today. I won't be able to pay for coffee this morning, Justin, because...
What happened?
My credit card was frauded last afternoon.
It is your turn.
It is my turn, but unfortunately, we're going to have to pass.
Are you a one credit card person?
No, I have two.
So we're not a problem then.
I have none. Well, the one that got frauded yesterday is just the American Express, which doesn't get taken everywhere. Like some businesses don't have it. So I had to get a separate one just like for backup. But
right.
Anyway, I got home yesterday, and I took a nap, interviewed Devin Singletary, by the way. That's a 7:30.
Motor.
Not a big deal.
7:30.
And then I had like 4 missed calls from this number. And on my iPhone, it says likely spam. I've never seen that before. Instead of like the name, like, you know, American Express calling or Justin Cuthbert, it said likely spam. And I was like, I'm not answering this. Then I got a text message from one of those little like 5-digit numbers. And it was like, this is American Express. Did you buy this? Click this link. I'm like, screw you. I'm like, that's.
I was going to say that. That is how you got defrauded.
And so I was like, I'm not clicking this.
On the link.
So I didn't click anything. And it said, but it had like the 4 digits of my credit card in. I'm like, well, how would they know that? So I started getting a little suspicious. So I answered the next spam phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And the lovely woman was like, hey, good morning or good afternoon. Like, have you made these purchases? And let me tell you, $8,000 was using my credit card. This was the most uncomfortable conversation of my life. She goes, I just need to confirm that these weren't your purchases.
How do they know that, though? Like, why?
Well,
I won't interrupt you. Go ahead. She goes,
all right, I'm just going to list a couple, like, let me know. And I was like, well, I haven't made any purchases, so, like, they're probably all not mine. $1,328 to OnlyFans.
Oh, man.
Oh, my. I'm like, no, not me. Okay, I didn't think so. How about this?
Wait. 1,000? How is that even possible?
I don't know, Justin. This person went ham on OnlyFans. Then they subscribed to a number of other adult entertainment sites.
Wow.
And she was reading them out, and I said, no, also not me. No, that one's not me.
So the head office of American Express, they're like, there's no way. There's no way. We know this person. There's no way.
Well, that's why they called me. Because $8,000 or in change in one afternoon that were from sites not to be mentioned on the radio, and then also some trips, like some sort of travel credit that this person bought, like whether it was Expedia or whatever, like a voucher.
Okay.
And then also went and bought
more utility to that, I think.
Like the prepaid credit cards, like a Visa, you know, $1,000 Visa. So this person went wild with my credit card, and I had to listen to Michelle on the phone talk about all the purchases, and I'm like convincing her it wasn't me.
Please, Michelle, I
didn't buy that. Thank you, though. Anyway, in the end of it, we got to the bottom of it, and I will be now without a credit card for a week while they send me a new one. But then I have to change all my subscriptions that go there. I got to go and type in the new credit card number. I know, first world problems, but I went on my statement this morning.
Well, maybe you should do those things manually so you don't fall into this trap again. But
why is it my fault? I didn't go recklessly tap my card at some.
Well, and what I'm saying is your card and the information is existing in all these automatic subscriptions.
Okay, maybe that's sorry how it was that accessed. I pay for Netflix
sorry,
and Spotify.
Sorry, I exist in the current world in 2023.
I'm not going to mail a check to Netflix every 31st.
Mm-hmm. That's I guess that's fair. In
this millennium.
You don't go to the bank to pay your bills every month.
No, I don't. My grandmother used to have that little actual book.
That's old school.
She would write her finances in it. I'm not there, Justin. Maybe you are. We're born in different generations. But yeah, you have to use your credit card.
I just use other people's passwords.
You have to use your credit card online. This is just a heads up to everyone that there's fraud going around. There's scams. Don't get sucked into it.
Well, I think you got some actually fascinating insight into what people do when they get a hold of someone else's credit
card. They buy luxury items that they don't spend money on.
I didn't think adult subscriptions, subs, would be the number one thing. I don't even know how you spend $1,000. Is that a one-stop shop? I don't know how that even works.
Because I don't know.
I thought it was $5 to whatever.
I think there's some expensive folks out there.
Wow.
That are charging
$1,000 a month?
No, I don't know. I think this was maybe a year. I don't know, Justin. I didn't go look into you. Tell me hey, send me the links. I want to judge what they're interested in.
That's what's funny to me. It's the priority after I've acquired this stolen credit card is to make sure I'm set up online
for the next year.
Why is that the number one priority? Because I've always thought, let's say I was a criminal.
Yeah, you wouldn't be hitting up.
And I stole a credit card.
Adult sites.
What would my move be? Because you only have so long with this credit card before the call from American Express is going to Eilish Forfar. So what are you going to do? How are you going to try
I actually think...
I think the travel vouchers are brilliant.
But the prepaid visas, because it's
got a little burner.
It's free money.
Yeah.
You've got it now. It's in your pocket. Nobody can track this prepaid $500 visa from Shell gas station.
That's the move.
You're in the green there. You can do whatever you want.
You take every gift card out and that's what you do. I think that's it.
So this person,
that's the move.
I'm
we
sure did some of that, but I mean, I didn't get the full breakdown of every dollar
spent.
Mistake.
They're a bad criminal because they went ham online and they're no way Eilish Forfar would do that.
I think nonetheless,
they would have got away with that crime.
$8,000 in one afternoon. American Express is calling me regardless. Okay.
True.
It's definitely out of character for me to be spending that much money in a Wednesday afternoon.
Unless you're at the real sports shop.
No, not even. Anyway, so just everyone, keep your cards close. Lock up the wallets. Keep your subscriptions online nice and tidy. Change your passwords once in a while.
I feel like credit cards are a little too convenient now. Your credit card, anyone can pick it up.
I'll just
tap for groceries. That's the small crime you'll always get away with because no one's flagging groceries.
That's true. And
then
you know
just
what?
Throw it away.
You buy a couple heads of lettuce and you're already at $8,000.
There you go.
Now you can tap on your Apple Watch. You can pay with basically, I don't know, your elbow. You can do whatever you want. It's like a chip. You can pay for whatever, just swipe.
Does the Apple Watch have facial recognition?
No.
Because at least your phone.
I think you can turn it on and off.
At least your phone needs you there, but the card.
No, there wouldn't be a facial recognition. There's no camera on my watch.
Oh, there you go. Then so if you drop.
Right now, my credit card's still on here.
Watch,
I could just go like that.
You lose that
and
watch.
I could pay for something.
Someone could be tapping.
Oh, God. Well,
so what happens today.
Now? Sorry.
They'll cover that? You have enough.
Oh, they would cancel those purchases. I'm not going to have to pay for them.
How do they cancel those purchases?
Well, I mean, they just the doesn't come off my statement.
So whose liability is that? Just
they eat
American
the money.
Express has to eat it?
Yeah. And Buddy gets off and has a hell of a weekend with his new...
Choice of phrasing there. He's set up.
Okay, it could be a woman.
That's true. It's true.
Anyway, thanks to American Express. Congratulations to this individual that...
They got you. Now, this isn't the first time it happened.
Got scot-free.
Not to continue the conversation, but you've been defrauded before. You got to change something about you, too.
The last time it was somebody stole my physical credit card. It's different. Anyway, we didn't cash in last night of the Wake and Rake. But we were close. The under hit in that game because it was a defensive goaltending masterclass. Matt Murray saw Yusei Saros and his stat line over the last week.
Heard the discussion. Vezina Trophy, Yusei Saros.
Here I am, bud. It was good. It was tight knit. Come down to the final power play, and the core three minus Matthews really were the storyline with Matt Murray.
Yeah, it was a playoff round winning performance for Matt Murray in like a single 60 minute segment. I think that's sort of how I'm grading these guys now. Like, was that good enough in the playoffs? Yeah, it was. And it's mostly, you're not asking for like the world from him. He didn't have to even be Yusei Saros in the game, because Yusei Saros is probably more busy and a little bit more impressive in that he had to be a little bit more, he was a little bit busier and forced to do a little bit more. But if you get that goaltending and you couple that with the sort of defense that they played from a team perspective, then you have something there. It's not letting you down. And the Leafs are in the position now, if they're like not actively let down by their goaltending,
they can win a game.
They're pretty much winning.
And I think for me, Nylander was one of the most impressive players out there because he's thrust into a different role. Obviously, with Matthews not in the lineup, Willie has the opportunity to drive a line. And this has been a conversation for years around William Nylander. Is he good with good players? Like, is he able to be just the guy that plays with the best, is a winger that maybe doesn't get in the dirty areas, doesn't have to drive play last
night?
Does
he drive the line, or is he
driven
the weapon on a line?
And last night he drove a line. I thought it was one of his best performances in a little while. I know he's been in the MVP of the season so far conversation. We want to get him to the All-Star game. But last night he played like it was an All-Star game audition with Auston Matthews not in the lineup.
Yeah, and Mitch Marner scored the goal. But if you were choosing, okay, who pulled ahead in the MVP race, or who landed a counterpunch in the MVP race internally with the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think it was William Nylander's night. Obviously, a lot of focus on him centering a unit, him playing with Pierre Engvall, him having to carry a little bit
more below. Like, you give him one of the worst wingers on the team. And
One of the worst. I mean, where are you going with it? Would you rather have Kerfoot up there?
No, I'm just saying he wasn't given Marner and Yarncroke.
I would say the glass half full on that, a very defensively responsible winger.
Sure.
And someone who can maybe help him settle into that center ice role. I don't know if, I'm thinking more about, okay, long-term viability here with William Nylander at center. Maybe this is the future. Maybe this was a window into the future when we're living in a non-John Tavares world, or a world where John Tavares has to shift to the wing, and maybe he's playing with Auston Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner if we're going to completely flip the core four on its head. Like, maybe one day there is a scenario where William Nylander is playing a full season or multiple seasons at center ice. And I think there's the good and the bad. I think you clearly see it when William Nylander's on. More often than not, 85-95% of the time, he's giving you good minutes. You also kind of lost Philip Forsberg on the goal, and I think we should mention that.
Yeah, it wasn't
that
a perfect night.
And that's too much to expect to just drop into the center ice position and expect there not to be a learning curve. But if he played 82 games at center and he got the 10,000 practice hours required to master any skill, I do think William Nylander could thrive in that role as well. This is a really, really good hockey player reaching his prime, and I don't know if it's break glass in case of emergency stuff. I don't know if it's a succession program, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him belonging there permanently in the future.
Yeah, and I think that now we're at this point of the regular season where the Leafs most likely have, unless something significant happens on either a positive side or a negative side with this team and with the top other teams in this division, that they can not coast, but they can comfortably walk their way into a playoff spot. So what is there to take from these games? Sometimes it's difficult. Like, what was the storyline yesterday? Just Murray and Yusei Saros having a good game defensively. Like, it was kind of boring, no offense. Mm-hmm. But you find the core three at that point, find a way to be the finish to the game that the Maple Leafs needed. But maybe there is something of a look into the future. Maybe there's a conversation around, are they starting to load manage Auston Matthews? Like, this story that came out, I guess it was a day and a half ago, that he, you know, had this undisclosed injury. He wasn't taking practice. Bobby McMahon gets his opportunity. We'll talk about that, to have his first NHL game. And we don't know what's up with Auston Matthews, but the conversation can start to shift to, well, maybe they're not putting him in these games right now because I just mentioned that, like, they're in a comfortable spot. Like, are you going to make him play through a tiny injury when you could just rest him.
Yeah, coming into the game, a 9-point buffer up and down. Mm-hmm. So 9 points behind Boston, 9 up on Tampa, and Tampa, or 9, maybe it was Tampa 9 up, either way, very, very comfortably where they were.
Yes.
And still are. And for that reason, you can take the opportunity to sit Austin Matthews if you so choose, if he is still dealing with something that may have happened way earlier in the season, has been battling through and been uncomfortable, and maybe that's affected his ability to score goals. I'm not sure exactly, and we don't know and won't know exactly.
But that's the NHL, which frustrates me, is like the NBA, you know, guys are load managing and nobody cares. And well, they care if you buy tickets to see LeBron James in Toronto or Steph Curry in Toronto, he doesn't play, but it's just so normal.
One of the big differences, though, is that it doesn't, like, individual stats is how players make money.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin Matthews isn't going to put up his hand and be like, hey, I'm going to be better in the playoffs if you let me sit 12 games, if I play 70 instead of 82, because guess what? That prevents him from scoring 60 goals.
And then
that
everyone
makes it difficult
says
to score 50 goals.
Austin Matthews isn't having the season that we thought.
And he wants to get paid like a 60-goal scorer. So mm-hmm. when he's in these positions, he's going to want to be, and every NHL player for that reason knows where the bread is buttered, what they have to do in order to maximize their earning potential. In the NBA, we're talking about averages. It's not just counting stats. Like, Jokic can sit if he so chooses, because when he's in the lineup, he's averaging a triple-double, whatever it is. So I think that's a key difference, is like these guys aren't paid enough to completely buy into a load management program. Now, that's interesting because Austin Matthews is kind of looking at a payday, of course, in the next potentially, 16, 18 months.
I don't think if Austin Matthews misses 12 games, he's going to lose $1 million on his upcoming contract.
No, but if he went into free agency completely uninhibited, doesn't sign with the Maple Leafs, scores 60 in three straight seasons, I mean, the world is still going to be offered to mm-hmm. him, but it might be an unprecedented contract situation where someone might max out the percentage of the salary cap that you can earn if that's what he wanted to do. Now, again, we're going down a different road we didn't expect to go on, but load management isn't as viable for that reason. Matthews might be in the position now where he can. He's not having that great season. Maybe he can kind of raise his hand and be like, okay, this isn't going, I'm not going to repeat as the Hart Trophy winner. I'm not going to score 60 again. Maybe it's best that I take a few nights off. I can see that happening. Or maybe something has just kind of crept up and needed to be addressed, and maybe he needs a week.
We do have a clip, Friedge on Matthews' injury. This was from Tim and Friends, I believe yesterday, talking about why Austin Matthews might be out of lineup and if it has to do with load management.
Here's what I can tell you, and it is a wall. There's no question about that. They're really trying to keep a lid on this. Here's the best information I can give you at this time. Number one, I don't think there's a fear that this is long term. I know there's been a lot of discussion online about whether or not this is a lingering thing from the Jamie Benn cross check at the beginning of the season. I don't believe that's the case. I think this is something that would affect his shooting, and I don't know the specific injury, Tim, but whether it's, you know, something that's like hand, wrist, finger, something like that. I don't think you'll ever see load management in the NHL at the same level as you do in the NBA, simply because I think it's too tight to make the playoffs. I don't think we're going to see a lot of that. I think one of the things, Tim, though, I did wonder about is it's a back-to-back for Toronto. And I did wonder, this is my personal opinion, I did wonder about the possibility of that if they said, do we need to play him in back-to-back games?
Well, I disagree with Elliot there that it's too tight to make the playoffs. I mean, if the Boston Bruins wanted to load manage, they could load manage.
Mm-hmm.
The Maple Leafs are one of, five, six teams that are so far ahead, so clearly going to the playoffs, so clearly talented that they could deal with a load management program if they so choose. Yeah, the Oilers are not load managing Connor McDavid right now. That's not happening. But there are some teams that earn it, I guess, with their play through the first half of the season, that could be like, yeah, we could enter some sort of load management program. But it's just the reality. These guys are all chasing money, accolades, awards, attention. That's kind of why. And for that reason, I think we can infer that this is something that Matthews has to deal with. And I guess it would make sense if it is wrist, hand, finger, whatever.
Yeah, it could be.
Because we haven't seen the same goal-scoring ability from him. We've seen maybe fewer chances, too. But the way that he scored goals last year seemed, and he was coming off-season wrist surgery last year, too, basically didn't score for the first month of the season, and then went on his run. But Like, are you surprised if something is impacting him with his ability to shoot based on what we've seen this year? It checks off every box. It kind of makes sense.
It would give some clarity. But to me, this is, I don't know if it's a non-story. It's just, I don't care, like, too much about him being load managed at this point because the stakes seem really low.
Do what's best.
If there's a serious injury that, or an injury that could become an injury that matters more in the playoffs, like if you're wearing out a wrist and then it's, you know, round one of the playoffs and you've overdone it, then that's poor coaching. That's poor management of your all-star who needs to show up in the playoffs. It doesn't matter to me. I'm curious to see how long this happens for. You know, they have, as you said, a back-to-back. Then they play Saturday night against the Bruins. Like, if Matthews takes tonight off to play Saturday, hell yeah, because this is the first big game that the Leafs have played on Saturday night in what feels like a really long time. They've been playing the Red Wings. They've been playing the Preds.
It would elevate from a non-issue to an issue, I think, if he missed Boston.
We'll circle back Monday morning. If he misses Boston, then I'm a little bit red flag here. But that's one of the biggest litmus tests so far.
There it is.
And I would be very surprised to see him opt to not play that game or not be able to play that game.
I don't think you'd ever make that decision. If it is a load management program, it's about lightening the load, not removing yourself from the biggest game of the season so far. I will say, thinking more about like the deadline, watching last night, you know, you can never have too much talent, right? Core four has been very, very impressive. The supporting cast has done what it's been asked to do in terms of a secondary role for the most part. But the calculus changes when you're missing an Austin Matthews, and it would change if you're missing a Mitch Marner for whatever reason, or a William Nylander or John Tavares. Not that there was an issue last night. The core three, as you put it, it delivered. Two primary assists for William Nylander, a goal each for Marner and Tavares. But I think another layer, whether or not that piece is maybe underused, underutilized in the normal context of their career, it doesn't really matter. You can't have too much talent, and there are going to be injuries. And if you go from a core four to a core three, a core two, you're going to leave yourself empty-handed. I think they maybe a reminder that, hey, this team is really, really talented, but you can never have too much talent.
All right. You want to talk about Bobby McCann?
McMahon.
See, there you go. I screwed you up yesterday.
Yes, now I'm
now
like
you're,
high alert.
You're dialed in on McMahon.
No, but now I'm like really, really conscious of, because McCann sounds so much more natural.
It just rolls off the tongue. Yes. Really great. He gets his rookie lap. He comes out number 74, first time ever, at least worn 74. There's few numbers left in the Leafs roster that are acceptable because half of them are retired. Literally any
good numbers.
Any good number is retired. And the other ones.
27 retired.
You bet. Of course, best number in the league. Either all the current players are wearing good numbers or they're wearing the linebacker numbers. And Bobby McMahon, 74, is a pretty good pick. Like, if we're looking at numbers available, I think he nailed it.
I think he's the first player in Leafs history to wear 74.
I just said that. Did you black out?
I guess a little bit.
Yes.
The TV is on today, which is a little distracting.
Oh, God, you're watching highlights. There's Tim right on the TV. Anyway, I thought, hey, buddy, good start. Got a good number. I was low expectations. I didn't know anything about Buddy Bobby, but he was good. Like, he was fine. He did 11 minutes on the ice. He got two hits. Like, he wasn't a guy that I thought, won't get another shot in the NHL.
I think we might have to, like, send a team of investigators out to the Ford Performance Center because, like, pull back the curtain on what's happening. It feels like they're, like, just developing robots. Like, all these guys who just, like, have no real discernible identity, individuality. Like, describe Bobby McCann, I'd be like...
He's a guy.
You know, skate forward, straight line, no mistakes. That's Pontus Holberg. It's like, what they're doing, they're just, like, in a lab generating these players that are not going to be core four guys. And even the ones that have that talent, Nick Robertson, they can't find a way to be, like...
I was going to say, the only outlier there was him.
They can't find a way to be Pontus Holmberg. Like, there's an issue with Nick Robertson. But the guys who are just being molded into these, like, super depth guys who just do one job, which is to not hurt you. That's like the Marlies way, it seems like right now. But that's not that the worst thing in the world, especially if you're designed around four players, four forwards, a small group that's supposed to lead you and the other ones are supposed to not hurt you. It looks like Bobby McCann is cut from that Pontus Holmberg cloth. All just the only difference is he's a winger who, you know, maybe hasn't proved himself to Sheldon Keefe as much.
His, I don't know if you saw the story of his family finds out that he's getting called up to the NHL, and it happens to be the dad's trip right now going on.
Mm-hmm. Good timing.
And so he's from Alberta, Wainwright, Alberta, and his family flies in, but he doesn't tell the dad that he's now joining the dad's. Like, that's what a time to get called up. You're getting called up to the NHL on the dad's trip. The dads are, you know, going to go off and have their fun. And it was just a nice storyline around him coming up. He makes his debut. I don't know. Maybe we see him tonight on a back-to-back.
I mean, I think it's probably connected to Austin Matthews. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other options, but it feels like that's a reasonable expectation that he'll be there. He did have one moment that stood out. He did sort of fade into the game.
Oh, I hoped so badly for this moment to go his way.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The diving Connor Bedard-like pass. That, I think Connor landed one of those on, I think it was Joshua Wostick. I'm not exactly sure who it was. But this one, this impressive diving pass that landed on the stick of a teammate, causing or setting
one
up a breakaway.
One of the last options for a teammate's
went
stick
to Alex
that
Kerfoot,
I would like
and I was so excited.
On.
Like, it was the, I think it was the only time that I was like really like kind of woken up from my half days watching the game was this moment, because like Bobby McCann's gonna, like,
here
he's gonna have his moment. And then I kind of sunk back down right when I saw who was collecting the pass, which is Alex Kerfoot. And of course, I think he whipped it wide or whatever he did, but he didn't convert on that chance. Anyone but Kerfoot. And if it was anyone but Kerfoot, or Kerfoot could find a way to put that in the back of the net, like, we're talking about, I don't know, about first star, but we're talking about post-game interview. We're talking about a little bit of pomp and circumstance, because that would have been a hell of a play and a hell of a first point in an NHL debut.
God, was Kerfoot always this all-Swedish, no finish? Like, this guy cannot put the puck in the net.
Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle.
Like, is this kind of uncharacteristic? Like, I don't really remember.
Well, I feel like he's been here forever. I know it was only like, did he sign a 4-year deal right when he came over? Either way, it seems like he's been here forever.
Name somebody lower on the list that you'd have confidence in scoring a goal on a shootout or an empty net.
On the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah. Exactly. He's just he's a little bit of a slump.
TJ Brody. It's the only one. Mm. It's the only one.
But I would feel like at least he'd make something happen.
Maybe Justin Hall. Although I think Justin Hall would at least have one trick. Like one thing
that's
he
right.
could do.
Justin Hall has one move in his bag that is like, all right, oh my God, I'm on a breakaway. This is my one move.
Yeah. It wouldn't necessarily be Merrick Malik, but there's something he can pull in practice when given the opportunity.
Yeah, like how Rasmus Sandin apparently is like the power shootout connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Maple Leafs back in action tonight against the Red Wings again. Going to see that. Then on the weekend, the big litmus test. So we'll tee that up later, Wake and Rake. We got Nick Kiprios as well at 7 a.m. And he was breaking some important news yesterday, but we'll tease it. You got to stay tuned. Listen to the 7 o'clock hour if you want to hear Kipper's insider scoop. Let's move on to a little
super wild card
the
weekend.
The super wild card weekend's right around the corner. It's Baby Friday. You know, tomorrow we obviously tee it up even more in depth with Charles and co. But today we're going to do a little wild card weekend watchability ranking / draft. We're just going to figure it out. But we also have Joe House at 8 a.m., so stay tuned for that too. To be honest, this weekend's low intrigue.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good, but
it's going to be great. But when you look at these games, there are flaws with most games. So 6 games.
Yes.
We don't have to lay them out. We'll just...
You know them.
We're going to power rank them together.
Yeah.
Okay, just most intriguing game for you is what?
And we'll see if we agree. This is going to surprise the nation. Okay. My number one intriguing or much-watched game is not the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins.
How could it be?
It's the Jags and the Chargers.
I'm with you. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay.
Why is it the most intriguing game?
This game screams chaos. It's going to be high scoring. Neither team knows how to win in the regulation or the playoffs. two of the best young quarterbacks battling it out, looking for their first ever career playoff wins. They're young cores. Like, there's just a lot of chaotic is the perfect way to envision this game. Mm-hmm. The Chargers love to play games that are weird, come from behind, lose in dramatic fashion, and most importantly, the battle of Ailish's fantasy football quarterbacks, which was a dead last showing for me this season. I just think that this game could
it's not
go
an indictment at all in this game.
Could go off the rails, and that's why it's my number one in terms of viewing watchability.
Yeah, I think it has the biggest potential for chaos, right? You got two ultra-talented quarterbacks, but also quarterbacks prone to the odd mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence can clearly provide, but they can also take away. And my one big question, and I'll give one big question for each of these games, for this one, is that these young quarterbacks, third year for Herbert, second for Lawrence, I don't know if either of them are completely primed for this moment.
No.
And I also don't know if there is, if the advantage does lie with Herbert in that he's been around for a little while, maybe more, one extra year, but definitely more polished. Like, he was good right away and he's got that extra year. Lawrence has only come around in the last 6 weeks, maybe. I do wonder if the coaching staff will help, like the staffs will help balance this out, because Brandon Staley is a complete and abject disaster right now. And Doug Peterson is quietly very, very good, a Super Bowl winner himself, and maybe someone who can help bridge the gap if Trevor Lawrence is a little bit behind Justin Herbert in terms of like NFL relevancy. So I wonder which one can get the better performance out of their quarterback, I think is the story of the game. Mm-hmm. And we got like kind of a coin flip pick 'em. I think the Chargers are slight favorites, but under a field goal. I think this one has chaos written all over it, and it's going to be fun.
I had Herbert just by a hair because of the weapons around him, like Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler. But Mike Williams being questionable in the way that that last Chargers game was coached makes this even more of a chaotic mess. So that's number one for me. What's your second?
I heard someone describe Brandon Staley as fake sharp the other day, and I thought it was perfect. Like, he thinks he's this like sharp gambler, like sharp, like I'm ahead of everybody else, but it's not real. It's inauthentic. I think Brandon Staley, he was fooling everyone for a while, but I don't think anymore.
Okay, so we both have the same number one. Where do you want to go with your second?
My second will be Dallas-Tampa. I mean,
same, buddy. Maybe good thing we didn't draft because we'd be fighting this out.
Maybe this is more objective than subjective, at least with the first two.
I didn't think it was that easy. Like, when I went through, I had trouble really putting numbers to these, but we got one and two the same.
I think these are clearly the two most intriguing games. And I think it's only been made more intriguing because Tom Brady is suddenly Tom Brady again. Mm-hmm. And there's not like a
Mike
long
Evans
track record.
Mike Evans just said that was the best game he ever saw as Tom Brady's
maybe
buck.
We're drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
In part because of Mike Evans. He's only really had one standout game. He played really, really well in the finale for as long as he lasted before Atlanta took over and ran away with that game once the reserves came in from Tampa. But I think we've seen a little bit of Tampa playing itself into rhythm, and I think that's the big question. Is that real or not?
It's hard to bet against a playoff Tom Brady.
If it is real, then one team's going up, Tampa, and one team's going down, at least it seems, Dallas, who has not been sharp the last couple weeks. And I don't know if that's because they can kind of let their foot off the gas, whatever. This game terrifies me from a betting standpoint. I've been wasting a lot of money all year on Tampa, believing in them when it wasn't there in reality. And also, Tom Brady's... This is what he does. He comes through in these moments. He figures out a way. And I think for that reason, the big markets, the big names, intrigue.
And Monday night.
Intrigue galore Monday night.
For all the same reasons, this is my number two as well. Playoff Tom Brady. This year has been a roller coaster of emotions for him. Is this the last game we see as a Buck, too? Like, that's a real consideration we could have. If he loses this, bye-bye. It could end in sad fashion. Or we see that magic is still there. You know, he's been rolling here, and it's a real, tangible Tom Brady experience that we're getting. And then, obviously, are the Cowboys finally ready to win? Like, they're like, do you love them or you hate them? They're like the Yankees. So, we'll see.
And it takes me back to week one, where Tampa, there were no issues in week one because they handed the Cowboys their lunch after Dak Prescott went out. And think about how many chapters to the Cowboys story there have been this season. Like, I thought the season was over when they lost like they did and lost Dak Prescott for a prolonged period of time. They had to roll with Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush stabilized them. It just seems like Tampa might be their bugaboo, though. And we'll see.
All right. My third highest ranked game. Maybe it's the same as yours. Giants, Vikings.
Okay, here's where we finally differ. This might be my internal bias, though, that's affecting this, because I do think it's the most competitive game after this, after the first two.
This is my first real game that I think there could be an upset.
Yep, I agree.
Kirk Cousins' choke job right there in the making.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants and the Dayball Magic, you know that he is pumping that locker room with passion, with you're the underdogs, no one believes in us, you're going to go out there and you're going to prove the world that we're a real competitive football team. It could be boring, but I really seriously think that this could be the underdog topples the Minnesota Vikings. Like, you can't bet against Dayball and the way he can, like, inspire that team. So, for me, I think that if there's an upset on the table, it could be this one.
One thing we can bank on, that this game will be decided by one score, which means it's going to be a good finish. 24 of the 34 combined games for these teams decided by one possession, which, you know, they've been playing. And I think it says two things. I think it says one thing about both teams, is that they have trouble separating themselves from bad teams, but they can give good teams issues as well. And Minnesota's clearly a good team. Giants are a good team as well. I just think the Giants are maybe closer to the average, but they're so good at keeping things close. And Minnesota is better, but they tend to hand things
away. Who's playing quarterback for them?
The Minnesota Vikings? Kirk Cousins, no?
Oh,
did
sorry.
I miss something?
No. My bad. I thought we were already at Baltimore.
Oh, no, I wasn't the one.
My bad.
Anyway, my one big question.
Yeah, it is
for
Kirk Cousins, because I just said he's going to have his choke job. My bad.
The one big question for
I'm looking
these
ahead.
Teams is that their tendencies are surely going to come to the fore. Giants playing up, Minnesota playing down. Does that equate to an upset?
So
I'm with
it's
you.
Not
I think
in
it
your
could.
Third.
It is my fourth.
Okay, so
but I'm
you
willing.
Three?
If we're doing it together,
no,
I'm willing to concede. Okay, I'll give
so
you my
what beats
my,
this.
My third is Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Okay,
now.
Well, that's why
I can't in good conscience
without Lamar.
I can't in good conscience give you the number three ranking or offer the number three ranking if it's going to be Anthony Brown, the third stringer playing for
so
Baltimore.
So there's an asterisk.
But if it is either Tyler Huntley or Lamar Jackson in the Hail Mary style thing here, it is certainly more alluring than the Giants and Minnesota Vikings. But that's the big question. Who's playing quarterback? And I think if it is Anthony Brown, it's about survival for the Cincinnati Bengals and can they protect Joe Burrow? Because even if the Baltimore Ravens can't win this game with their third stringer, and they can't win this game with their third stringer, I just cannot see it happening. Can they take a big enough bite out of the Bengals to hurt them down the stretch?
This was my last ranked watchability game.
Okay, so then I will concede Minnesota Giants is number three, and then we can talk about where this one ranks later. But I think anytime Joe Burrow in a playoff game, like it's important to me. Like it's just like he is the guy. He makes games interesting. Cincinnati is interesting. And if it's anyone but Brown, it's a game. It's a real game, and it's an NFC or an AFC North game, rather. And for that reason, it means something.
My temporary blackout was because I just can't watch this game if it's no Lamar.
That's fair.
We have no idea who's going to start. There's a lot of quarterback intrigue this week. Like, we're going to see four quarterbacks that were not starters at the beginning of the season. Like, we're going to see five first-year coaches at their teams. Like, this is a chaotic playoff start, wild card start this weekend.
Okay, which
but that's
four?
Low for me because I just know that, like, the Cincinnati Bengals are for real. Joe Burrow's cool Joe, and I don't even know who's playing quarterback, so I don't care too much about tuning into that one as my top ranked.
I think it matters because who's off? Kansas City. Who's going through a nothing team in the Miami Dolphins if they're playing their third-string quarterback who might be hurt himself? Buffalo. Like, Cincinnati has to overcome a hurdle still, and that's why at least it intrigues me, because I put them on the same level as those other two teams, but I think they can be hurt most by this week compared to those two teams, at least compared to the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, what's your number four?
Seattle and San Francisco.
That's my next as well.
It's
my five.
It's the quarterback heartwarming matchup. Niners seriously could win the Super Bowl, and I have my futures bet on them. I think we'll learn a lot about Brock Purdy in this game. It's a big test for a guy that was Mr. Irrelevant to come in and play in this football game with the expectations that this team has and continue to still win around him. But how much of that has been Brock Purdy? How much of that has been this team? This is an opportunity to see, like, playoff football or wild card football is completely different than regular season. Like, this is it. It's like win or go home. So the stakes are obviously the highest that they've been. Biggest game he's ever going to play in his football career.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that against Geno Smith, who's also been a wonderful storyline this year.
Potential comeback player of the year.
And so these two are going head to head in a game where I have no idea which version or which experience level of quarterback is going to show up.
Yeah, I think the big question from the game is, does something finally phase Brock Purdy? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I think this whole season's kind of turned into a free roll at the table for Geno Smith. Like, if it goes poorly, well, you weren't supposed to make the playoffs as the Seattle Seahawks, and you weren't supposed to be even a viable quarterback for the future, but you are, and you're going to sign an extension likely, and things are great for you. But there is pressure. There is Super Bowl ambition with the San Francisco 49ers. So does the postseason stage phase Brock Purdy? I think that's a realistic question. However, I do think this is the perfect ease yourself into the postseason deal here for the Niners and for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, but
they don't lean too hard on him.
Underrate your opponent.
They lean on their defense. They lean on their run game. I think Purdy can just handle his business and they're fine. And I don't feel like Seattle's good enough to actually threaten them, even if Purdy has some struggle.
Niners are 9.5-point favorites in this game against the Seahawks. They kick it off.
Come down a little bit.
Start,
it was 10.
To start Saturday.
I think it
Saturday,
might have been 10.5 as well.
Followed by Chargers, Jags, which is obviously our number one. Okay, so for me, that leaves...
Okay, so Baltimore, Cincinnati was your lowest. So my lowest is Miami, Buffalo.
Okay, so we just swapped this one. Miami, Buffalo, I give it the bump from the bottom up one because... I like those Buffalo Bills. I want to see if they can put together
your squad.
A performance like they did at the very end of their season against the Patriots. They have this emotional boost that they're riding right now. The entire sporting world is behind Buffalo. Mm-hmm. We talked to Devin Singletary later in the show, and he feels it too. Like, there's something really tangible about where this team is and where they're going. And I'm going to wear that T-shirt proudly that was gifted to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that just adds a little bit of a bump to my viewing experience. Anytime you could see Josh Allen, like, do Josh Allen things, it's a little bit more exciting to me than ex-quarterback versus Joe Burrow. And
This is ex-quarterback versus Josh Allen.
That's right. But ex-quarterback versus Josh Allen is still more interesting to me than ex-quarterback versus Joe Burrow. Just because I have the personal... appreciation and love for this
and that's
team.
Completely fair. Buffalo will have, I mean, all these, let's be honest, all these games are going to have all eyes on them as they are spaced out accordingly.
So nice.
But this one is important, but it is like it is for the 49ers, kind of an easy path in a graceful entrance into the postseason because I'm not sure Miami even has one starting quarterback, let alone their number one option.
Honestly, what's going on there?
Teddy has like a dislocated finger. Skylar Thompson picked up an injury. He's their third stringer. He's was considered like Purdy, I guess, a non-factor entering this year. So Miami's like it's complete uphill battle in Buffalo without a quarterback. I'm not sure how they're expected to be even remotely competitive. The betting line reflects that. It went from 9.5 when there was
yesterday. Did you bet it at 9.5?
No, I wish I did because I thought it was going
13 again.
I thought it was going down. But if you were smart and you were all over this, you could have got 9, middled at 13, and you're in a great spot right now. However, it moved because Tua is not playing. And
they might win
not
by
playing,
20.
They might.
30.
They might.
But the thing that scares me about...
It's a non-game without Tua.
The things that scare me... Well, yeah, and he's definitely not playing. The thing that scares me about some of these games with low competition is that playoff habits are really important. And I don't think they're going to come in there and cakewalk, but they could. And how do you now, next weekend or the next game, turn it on? Like, this is a very different matchup than you're going to get against your next opponent.
Well, I think it's about balance too with Buffalo. Like, you can't treat it like a bye week. Of course, it's a playoff game, but you also probably shouldn't go full bore. Like, you be running Josh Allen 10 times for 65 yards?
There's a balance
probably
that
not.
All of these teams are going to have to find.
It's about finding a balance. I think it's also about preservation because, like it is for Cincinnati, Buffalo doesn't have a bye like the Kansas City Chiefs do, and it's those three teams staring at each other, and they're going to get to that point. And how about the quarterback matchup for the AFC playoffs?
There you go.
In the next week, divisional round.
That's going to be high on the
list. Either Lawrence or Herbert, and then Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. It does not get better than that. So if we're ranking them next week, it's going to be a little bit harder. More challenging. Yeah.
All right. So fifth in terms of ranking for me, in terms of the top of viewing experience. We both start with Chargers, Jags. Then we both like Dallas, Tampa Bay. We have a little switch there. I like Giants, Vikings next, Seattle, San Francisco, then Miami, Buffalo, then Baltimore, Cincinnati. And I think our only switch was in that bottom three.
Yeah.
I think we're set up for a good weekend of viewing regardless. It is a little bit of a different intrigue, though. I mean, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of new faces, a lot of unproven players.
It's also not the most appealing betting weekend, I will say. A lot of large spread games. And then the ones that are coin flips, like I'm just confused. I don't know if it's Minnesota or the Giants. I don't know if it's Dallas or Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones, those two have circled in terms of like, okay, it's under a field goal or at a field goal.
Yep.
You make a decision. But the other ones are a little bit less intriguing from a betting perspective.
Well, we'll lay that all out tomorrow on our pick aside, which is now will be.
And we'll chat with Joe House about it a little bit. Get
That's
his
right.
opinion on some sides.
We've got Joe House at 8 o'clock, host of the Ringer podcast, host of Fairway Roll-In, contributor to the Ringer gambling show. This guy does it all. He's at 8. Devin Motor Singletary, 7:30. We got Nick Kiprios at 7. A jam-packed day of content on the Fan Morning Show. And we're going to continue that on the other side of the break with the A-List. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
February 15th. Get out a Sharpie, circle that date, because Netflix's new documentary series, Full Swing, is coming out then. We talked about this maybe 2 or 3 months ago when...
Why did it come out 2 or 3 months ago?
Because they're putting together the work, Justin. This isn't a vlog on TikTok. It's a production.
This isn't a vlog on TikTok.
This is... the most perfect timing to have followed the PGA Tour.
I guess so.
To pull out a Netflix golf show, just kind of like Drive to Survive, similar-esque, with a cast list that has now come out. That includes the addition of Rory McIlroy, who signed up late to participate in the show.
I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Played a central role in this LIV versus PGA battle, and he's going to be a part of this story. And that's why you're circling this on your calendar, because it is going to be spicy.
Well, if they want to admit it or not, the introduction of the LIV Golf Tour, if that's what it's...
Oh, indeed, it definitely helped with the ratings. Tour, yeah, sure.
It saved the show. There's maybe no show without it. Like, how much drama and intrigue... Like, I love golf. Love the PGA Tour. Sunday, when you... Especially if you're betting on it. You got an outright on Sunday. Final pairing. Nothing more exhilarating. It's great. I love it. Big tournaments. Love. Great stuff. Hard, though, to create the sort of intrigue that would last or exist or endure for another 8 months. So I don't know, like, Harry Higgs taking off his shirt at the Waste Management Open, like, there's only so much content you can get out of that. Like, it's not that exciting. But with the LIV stuff, and with all that's been talked about, and all that's been said behind the scenes that we haven't seen, like, this is going to make the show. And now you have Rory, the triumphant return and the teaser, the last guy introduced. Yeah, it's very exciting. I can't wait. I want to know what these guys said, have been saying. It's probably unfiltered. I'm sure it is. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how the LIV stuff all played out 8 or 9 months after the fact.
It is going to be so good. And it's projecting that's collaborated between that Vox Media Studios and Box to Box Films, which produced the F1 series. So if there's any...
We can expect it to be well done.
Oh, boy. And everybody got in on Drive to Survive as like a collective community. And I think it raised it raised so much interest and understanding of what goes on in F1.
And where'd that interest go?
Well, still, it was electric factory.
F1 lost some serious momentum around these parts.
Completely agree. But did they not have a series or a season that was their moment?
Yes, they did.
How many PGA golfers or LIV golfers do you know that have like a fun personality that you really want to, like, you know about them. I think this could really help with just like raising awareness of golfers that are not in the limelight.
I hope they got the right guys. It is interesting how many live guys there are. DJ, Joaquin Phoenix, Joaquin Neiman, Ian Poulter. I think there's another one. Decent amount of live guys. So it's going to be interesting to see both perspectives happening in real time.
Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka.
Live.
Yeah. Tony Finau. Those are just some of the
They got the big names. They certainly got the buy-in, especially if you're able to convince Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. All right, quickly, before we take a break, the Pro Bowl. This is always a point of argument. Do people care about the Pro Bowl?
Is that an argument? I feel like that's a consensus.
Okay,
No.
Maybe it will be a part of argument now because they're really trying to shift the storyline going into the Pro Bowl skills challenges. So they released some of the changes and what they're including is...
Dunk tank?
No, but they are adding the following skills competitions. Dodgeball.
Okay.
Precision passing. Longest drive of a golf ball.
I don't mind that either.
Best catch, similar to like a dunk contest, which I think is awesome. A gauntlet race, tic-tac-toe called kick-tac-toe.
All right.
Move the chains, which is a weighted wall pull, and a lightning round. So, I mean, there's explanations for all of these, but like they're trying very hard to make this more relevant.
Real, real hard brainstorming session went down in the NFL offices.
They played a little dizzy bat before they got into this.
They should throw that in there. I kind of like watching athletes do other sports.
100%.
So, like, the long drive intrigues me.
That's going to be so...
What was the other one? Dodgeball intrigues me.
Dodgeball. Like, I said this before. I would join a dodgeball league in Toronto if there was one.
If you put the most insane athletes on the planet and give them, you know, balls they can whip as hard as they...
It's going to be good.
...they can at one another, it could provide a decent outcome.
It drives the needle a bit for me. Like, I might tune in to this year's Pro Bowl a bit more.
Got to be honest, I'm not going to be watching live, but if there's some highlights...
Well, we'll see the highlights.
Maybe I consume some Pro Bowl content for the first time in decades.
I think that the way that they've structured this now is for social viral clips.
Yeah. Can we create two or three moments?
That's right. Let's get in the news cycle by somebody absolutely getting dummied in dodgeball or this longest drive... out driving PGA or LIV golf. We'll see. But I think they're making a good step in the right direction to keep it a little bit young and fun and maybe relevant. I don't know.
Okay, we'll
see. I'll tune in. All right, let's take a break. We got our insider, Nick Kyprios, who was breaking news yesterday. Stay tuned to find out what that was. That's next on The Fan Warrior Show with Justin and Ailish.